Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Prosecutors in the Boston Marathon bombing trial appear near the end of their chronological recounting of the attack and subsequent manhunt. The events in Watertown, 4 days after the bombings, were the focus yesterday, as WBUR's Jack Lepiaris reports.
For many, the day of the Watertown manhunt is one that's hard to forget. The day that residents of Boston and six other communities were told to stay home while police in Watertown searched for a man at the time believed and now known to be responsible for the Boston Marathon bombings. It's a scary time jurors in that man's trial are now reliving. The manhunt began around 1 in the morning, when Watertown police officer Joseph Reynolds spotted a Mercedes SUV reported stolen. Reynolds, on the stand yesterday, said he made a U-turn, radioed for backup, and followed the SUV around a corner. Around that turn, Reynolds said, Tamerlan Tsarnaev had gotten out of the car with a Ruger pistol and started firing. At the same time, Sergeant John McClellan arrived at the scene. As a bullet pierced his windshield, McClellan testified, he put the car in drive and jumped out, letting it slowly roll towards the suspect and using it as cover. By now, the two suspects were throwing explosives, small pipe bombs that sounded like firecrackers, and one pressure cooker bomb that McClellan said shook him so badly he had to reholster his gun. My eyes were shaking, he said. I couldn't see straight. While all this happened, a third officer, who was also on the stand yesterday, made his way through the backyards of homes on the opposite side of the street to flank the suspects. Sergeant Jeffrey Pugilis testified that he took aim at Tamerlan Tsarnaev and squeezed off 4 or 5 shots before Tamerlan saw him. The two exchanged fire until Tamerlan ran out of ammunition or his gun jammed. He threw the gun at Pugilis and took off running. Pugilis says he followed and tackled him. The sergeant described trying to handcuff the older brother, but before officers could do that, Pugilis says Jahar Tsarnaev had turned around the black SUV and was speeding toward the officers. Tamerlan was stuck underneath. His body bounced against the undercarriage, Pugilis said, and he was dragged 25 or 30 feet before he became dislodged. Defense attorneys tried to use the testimony to portray Tamerlan Tsarnaev as the aggressor that night. Under cross-examination, police officers said they saw Tamerlan firing shots, but they were unsure about Jahar. Witnesses, however, testified that both brothers threw explosives. Jurors have begun to hear about the capture of Jahar Tsarnaev at the end of the day and have already had a chance to see the boat where he'd been hiding. WBUR's David Boeri was one of two reporters who accompanied the jury as they were shown the boat yesterday at an undisclosed location in South Boston.
We could see this boat with all the bullet holes on both sides of the boat. We counted at least 110 bullet holes, each with a piece of evidence tape beside them. However, I looked at one of the pieces of evidence tape on that boat, and it was number 207. There could be far more than the 110 that we estimated.
Just before the end of the day, prosecutors started to call David Henneberry, the owner of that boat. But before he could take the stand, the judge recessed for the day. It's unclear whether Henneberry will take the stand today, but what is clear by the judge's own admission is that the prosecution's case is moving faster than expected. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Jack Lepiaris.